Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In the light of what has been happening, I wanted to bring up something that we don't usually think about. And the reason why we don't think about it is, frankly, most of the time, we don't have to. But eventually, we do have to. And there's going to be times like this when we have to. And that is the fact that in Psalm 116 and verse 15, the Word of God says that when a believer passes into eternity, that is precious in God's sight. That word means valuable. Now, there are certain things the Word of God says are precious to God. But there's not a lot of them. After all, if you think about it, what is valuable to God? Faith is called precious. Faith is valuable. But the value of that faith is equal to us as it is to God, because that faith causes us to become one new man with our Savior. It saves us. And we and God want that, and we and God enjoy all that that means, all the benefits of that. A soul is precious to God. He died for souls. He loves souls. But then there's also this, that very valuable, highly esteemed by God, is when a believer goes home to be with the Lord. And this is precious. Now, up to that point, the believer has been in a training process, an equipping place, preparing for eternity. Some believers have that as a realization and some don't. But that is what life on earth is. It's our preparation for life in eternity, life in heaven. That is the greater life. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says that the day of our going home is better than the day of our birth. So the day we go home to be with God is a better day than the day that we are born. This is a bit contrary to our thinking. Everybody's very happy and excited when a child is born, and rightly so. But nobody is happy or excited when somebody passes into eternity, except the person who's doing the passing. Now, sometimes people are anxious or afraid before they pass. But then they pass, and the first thing that happens when they step out of their body is all the fear, all the anxiety, all the questions are put away. They no longer exist. They're very excited. They're just delighted to be in the presence of the love of God. Many people say this is the first thing they experienced when the doctors brought them home, was the magnificence, amazing presence of God. And this is better than when we are born. When we are born, we're in the presence of loved ones. And when we die, we're often in the presence of loved ones. But when we die, we're in the presence of God. Now, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of a man what God has prepared for those that love Him. Now, this is not simply somebody who had a near-death experience coming back to talk about it. This is the inspired Word of God. that says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard. Nor has it entered into our heart, into our imagination, into our thinking in any way. The things God prepares for us. We know there is a mansion prepared for us. Imagine this. A mansion made by God, custom built for us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our preferences better than we know ourselves. He knows what we love better than ourselves. And God is the one who's custom building this. That alone is just mind-boggling. But that's just a detail. Those people who've had the near-death experiences say that you cannot describe in earthly words what heaven is like. They say in some ways it's like earth. In other words, there is a city. Earth has cities. There are trees. Earth has trees. There are roads. Earth has roads. Those roads are made of gold. There is a river in the midst of the city, and there's many cities with a river in the midst of them. But they say it's like earth, but so much better. You can't actually describe it. Because in order to describe it, you're limited to human words, something that doesn't actually have human description. The words are not sufficient. We can't begin to imagine, we can't begin to describe, even those people who've been there, what God has prepared for us. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I will be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, and now also, Christ will be magnified in my body. So I have this confident expectation, and I'm very bold about it, that Christ will be magnified in my body. Now get this next part. Whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. My advantage is in the fact that I'm going home to be with the Lord someday. That all the tribulations of this life are meaningful as a preparation. And that not only will my life through positive volitional choices glorify God, but so will my going home with Him. And this is the part we often don't think about. That when we go home to be with the Lord, this glorifies God. Christ is magnified. Now think about how we got here for a second. Man was originally created in the Garden of Eden to never die. But God had to give that provision. He was given volition, and in order to have a volition, he had to be able to choose against, not just be required to choose for. And so God put the two trees into the Garden of Eden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil in Ezekiel 31:18 was Satan's tree. That's why it was prohibited. But it gave man an option. It gave man the ability to exercise volition. And of course, as we know, he exercised his volition negatively through the deception of the enemy. And so now there was this problem, if you will, not really a problem to God, it was part of his eternal plan all along, but as far as man was concerned, there was this problem. He was made to live forever, but now he was fallen. Can you imagine spending eternity with an old sin nature? Can you imagine spending eternity plagued with things like iniquity or all the trappings of the old sin nature, negativity, reaction, anger, insecurity, all the trappings of the old sin nature, so many of them. Can you imagine if this was our eternity? Thank God it's not. But this was what placed man the moment that he fell, because he was still in the garden and he still had access to the tree of life, which gave him eternal life. But God gave him a provision. We think of it as really God somehow maybe punishing him or part of the curse, but it wasn't punishment and it wasn't a curse. It was part of the promise. In verse 15 of Genesis 3, God promised that the Savior would come. But then toward the end of the chapter, God did something that was absolutely necessary that people sometimes don't quite understand. God removed them from the Garden of Eden so that they could no longer eat at the Tree of Life, whereby they would live forever. Now, this initially may seem like a bad thing. But think about the fact that first God promised them the Savior. And the fact that the Savior was already present, they were actually talking to him every day in the cool of the day. The fact that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, that the works had already been finished. This was not, in truth, any sort of a problem, that man would be removed from the garden, that man would eventually die. This was the provision. So many people who've gone through these near-death experiences no longer fear death, because they say, you don't actually die. You don't actually die. We don't see death. In John 8:51, Jesus said, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. And the word see speaks about experience. You will never experience death. Indeed, when I was working in the emergency room, I saw what that means. What it means is that as a person passes into eternity, their soul leaves their body. Their last breath, what we think of as their last breath, is not actually a breath. It's an unnaturally long exhale, very long exhale. And if you hear it, you realize that is a long exhale. There's no way the lungs hold that much breath. Well, people have told us after their own experiences with it, when doctors bring them back, that that is the soul leaving the body. And then a few moments later, and I've seen this personally because the patient was on a heart monitor as they passed, a few moments after that breath, the heartbeat flatlines, it stops. But the person never saw death. They left before death. And the place they go, many are still in the room, but now, because they are in their soul body, they experience the exceptionally powerful and present love of God. This is a difficult thing for those of us who've never experienced it to fathom. but they enjoyed it. It was euphoric to them. It was edifying to them. It was joyful to them. Now, I'm talking about those who are saved. I'm not talking today about those who are not. And then many of them saw that light, and they said that the light was the life of God, and from the life of God poured the love of God. That was the source of that love. So they went, and God brought them to heaven. They met their loved ones, people they knew, friends. All these people came to welcome them home, those who left the earth and were saved and went before them. They saw them again. They said the music was amazing. The colors were so vibrant, nothing like on earth. I remember reading the account of one person who said, "The sky in heaven has a slight reddish tint to it." They say it was amazing. And many who came back said they didn't want to go, but God made them go because their time was not there yet. But it was amazing. They never tasted death. They stepped out of their body. I'll never forget when my mom went home to be with the Lord. I was not present for that, unfortunately. I wanted to be, but I was not able to be there. But I know without a doubt in my heart exactly what happened. My mom had suffered tremendously with Parkinson's, and she had been hospitalized in palliative care for several months, maybe a half a year. And I know what happened in her passing. First of all, she got lunch, which I thought was incredibly hysterical because mom always said, "You eat before you go." And she did. And then shortly after lunch, she passed. Now, I'll tell you what happened to my mom. And I think this happens to a lot of people. That's why I'm bringing it up. She stepped out of her body and she saw herself. And I will put money on it that mom said, "Who's that?" Because she wouldn't have recognized herself. And then came the love, and then came the light, and then came the entry into heaven. We have something we can't describe, and the unknown of it scares people. But we also have the promises of God. And the promises of God are absolute. No one need be scared. If you are born again, like Paul, you can have boldness with all expectation and hope that even in your passing, God will be glorified. You get to heaven, and you meet your Savior. You get to heaven, and it's that next 100 years. Remember, the first 100 years is always the toughest. It's the next 100 years. And that never ends. We have such a hopeful expectation. We've been saved. We've been cleansed by the blood. We have promises of God. We have the word in our heart. We have rewards waiting for us. We have a union with Christ. We have a place with Him. We have a belonging and a citizenship in the New Jerusalem. This is our home. It really is going home when people pass to be with the Lord. Sometimes people try to make their home on earth. Earth is not a home. That's why there's so many problems here. That's why the believers will even have problems here. Because earth is not a home. Earth is a place of preparation. So that we will be properly equipped. Number one, with the promises of God that we utilize. But also with the knowledge of Christ and with a friendship with Him. So that when we go home to be with the Lord, we are going to our friend and to the lover of our soul. This is why it is precious. This is why it is valuable. Because if we think about it correctly, like Paul, we look forward to it. The part we don't always get is that God has been looking forward to it since the day we have been born. And He calls it precious. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."